plate a potential nugget.
And maybe before we dive into some of these topics, Raj, you know, going back to the term, what gets measured gets managed, right? And you talk about some of the people going after extrinsic measures. Let's take money as one of the examples, right? That's easy to measure. You know where you stand. How do you measure happiness? And more specifically, is it something that is it more of an inner recognition that you're happy, or do people around us notice, or both? Give us a sense of how you think about measuring happiness.
So there's a lot of work that's that got done between, I would say, 1980s, 85 or so, mid-80s to mid-90s. And a lot of the researchers were very interested in happiness, but they were also skeptical as to whether you can really measure it. You know, like you mentioned, money seems much easier to measure. It's quantifiable. But happiness seems like a subjective experience. If I say I'm a 9 out of 10, is that the same thing as if you say you're a 9 out of 10 and so on? So they ended up doing these studies in which they measured happiness through what are called self-reports. Basically, the simplest way to measure happiness is to ask people how happy they are, for example, on a 10-point scale. And then they looked at whether those measures that people gave are highly correlated with other measures, other more quote-unquote objective measures, like, for example, looking at levels of serotonin or dopamine or endorphins in your bloodstream, or cortisol, for that matter, which ought to be negatively correlated with happiness. They also looked at people's self-reports versus what other people that were close to these people said about these people's happiness. Let's say I say I'm a 9, and if you ask my wife, how happy is Raj? You know, if I'm not pulling a number out of thin air, I'm actually kind of, you know, aware of how happy I am, and I'm coming up with a number that's actually valid, then you would expect to see a higher correlation between my self-reports of happiness and other people, you know, particularly people who are close to me, their reports of how happy I am. You can also look at brain scans. You can look at certain areas of the brain that tend to get lit up, so to speak. It's more active. There's more blood flowing through to those parts of the brain. Certain parts of the brain are more well-developed. The left prefrontal cortex, for example, is more well-developed. So what the researchers ended up concluding is that these self-reports are pretty valid. They are quite highly correlated with these more objective measures of happiness than would be the case if they weren't valid. And so they ended up concluding that the simplest way to measure happiness is also a reliable way to measure happiness. So that's how, you know, I go about also doing happiness studies. You know, I just kind of measure happiness. I measure people's moods using relatively standardized but simple measures of happiness.
Got it. And in your work, you actually say that intelligence is possibly not related or possibly borderline negatively correlated to happiness.
Right. I mean, I haven't done any work myself on this, so I don't claim that I'm very knowledgeable about this. But to the extent that I've studied it in terms of other people's research on this, it doesn't seem like it's there's any correlation between standard kind of yardsticks of intelligence, you know, like IQ. Education levels and happiness levels. So there's a bit of an asterisk or a qualification here between being uneducated. Let's say that you didn't even go to any school or college, and having an undergraduate degree, you're going to be happier with an undergrad degree. But beyond it, it seems that it doesn't really help any. And in fact, getting a PhD lowers your happiness a little bit.
And what changes that? What changes that at the undergraduate level? What's the delta?
What's the delta between uneducated and the undergraduate?
Yeah, in the sense, yeah. What is it? Is it just the economy? You cross that economic hurdle, and
right. So, what is the cause for the change in happiness? So, I do think that you have more opportunities, right? So, one thing that we know for sure, this may be the biggest determinant of your happiness, is whether you have access to basic needs or not, right? If you look at the happiest countries in the world, they tend to be countries in which most of the population has access to things like, you know, food and roof over their head and education and medical attention and transportation and so on. Basically, the countries that we call socialist countries, right? Finland, which has been, you know, number one for 3 years now in a row, is an example of that. So I think that education up to undergrad, especially compared to somebody who doesn't even have a high school degree, you know, they're going to do better in terms of access to basic needs. So that might be a big reason for it, for sure. And of course, you can also think of other associated reasons, which is a sense of, you know, self-worth, self-positivity, the kinds of people that you tend to hang out with, you know, who tend to be more intelligent, perhaps, you know, better company in terms of being engaging. You're doing better, more skilled labor, right? So there's just a variety of things that go together with being more educated than just having a high school degree that is going to be positive for you.
Got it. And it's interesting you say that once the undergraduate, after that, there's no significant difference between further further levels of education.
Right. So that's what I remember from these studies. And I have to say that, you know, what's undeniably true here is that there's lots of people who are not just very well educated and are smart, but are also very successful by conventional yardsticks, you know, in terms of fame, money, power, access to resources, and so on, status, and yet are miserable people. You know, in fact, I'd be surprised if every one of the listeners you have doesn't know at least one person like that. Who's really wealthy, who's really successful by conventional yardsticks, and yet to the extent that these people know them really well, they also know that they're deeply miserable. And so that is a very interesting phenomenon for me.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com.